God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's see if I have anything left in me after that gospel. Jeez. It's rough, all that reading early in the morning. It actually went better at the early service, but these lessons get a little lengthy in Lent, don't they? So I was going to preach on that, and I said, well, the Romans lesson looks good. So I chose that. Although I do want to say this about the gospel. In the midst of all that was happening, Jesus is explaining to Martha, again, who he is. And she goes, yes, I believe he will rise again on the last day. And he goes, and Jesus is saying, but I am the resurrection. I am the resurrection. And she's like, yes, do you believe? And she goes, I believe you're the Messiah. She didn't say anything about, yeah, I believe you can raise him up. She never said that. I think she was living in a place that Paul was reaching to in his lesson to us today. As he was writing to the church in Rome prior to his arrival, he's really speaking about two different ways in which we can sort of live our lives. Two different ways in which we can engage. One of them brings life and peace, and the other, death. Now, we may not catch that right away. Our lesson begins in Romans chapter 8, verse 6. I backed us up to verse 5. I really wanted to back us up to verse 1, but we probably need to be able to move a little bit forward at some point today. Amen? Verse 5 says this, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit." And as I was reading that, I thought, this is a perfect description of the battlefield that Christians live on. Flesh or spirit? Each one of us lives there every day. Even Martha, with Jesus standing right in front of her, seeing what he has done and all the things that he could do, claiming, essentially hinting, at it's going to be okay, your brother will rise again. And she's saying, I believe you're the Messiah. She wasn't catching it. And in that moment, her humanity would have been undoubtedly in overload with the loss of her brother. She wasn't quite hearing what Jesus was saying. And isn't that what our struggle is? Isn't that where we spend many of our days and many of our moments trying to discern? And I get this. I'm here doing the same. I have this unique role in the church of being your priest, your pastor, and all priests, pastors, leaders within a church or a faith community will get this view from time to time. So I have the very unique opportunity of watching you all on the battlefield. You have the opportunity to watch me on the battlefield. But I see you, and I understand where you're moving and what's happening, and I can see what's going on around you from time to time. And there are times when I will step out there with you, and there are times when I leave you to discover. And there are times when you just don't want me to be there. And I was going to say that's okay, but that was just to bring you comfort. The reality is, it brings you comfort. That's really not my favorite thing to bring you. What I want to bring you is truth and understanding. You live on a battlefield. And we are faced every single day, every single moment. What will I choose? Will I choose this life through Christ and the peace that he offers, or will I choose death? Will I choose flesh, or will I choose spirit? And we go through it. Every decision we make is based on that very understanding. Every way in which we move, every moment, when we are facing the challenges of our life and we're just facing the everyday. You may have a challenge in your life that is almost overwhelming, and you have to decide, what am I going to choose? Sometimes they're so overwhelming, it's a relief to choose the Spirit, amen? Because you got nothing. The struggle comes when we think we know what we're doing, and then we choose the flesh over the Spirit. And that happens in so many ways, big ways and little ways, all the time. I had a dear friend of mine who was deeply in the political battle of the church, which often happens. It's unfortunate, but when you build an organization with God's precious children, you're going to have some problems. Amen? And that's what happens. So he was in the midst of that battle within our denomination, and as a result, he ended outside of our denomination. And it didn't go well, and he wasn't treated well in the process, which I acknowledged. But he had called me, and in his frustration, his anger was being directed at me. And I finally, you know, I listened because I understood what was happening. I knew the struggle he was in. And I finally said, look, I hear what you're saying, but please understand this. I understand you had to leave the battlefield. This particular battlefield, I understand you had to leave. You were called to leave it. I've been called to stay, so don't forget, I'm still here. I'm still in this battle. And I'm asking you to support me in my battle, not throw me to lions as if I've already lost. And he was quiet. And we worked through that, and we moved through that. Still good friends. But this happens all the time. When I was talking to the folks at 8 o'clock, I said to them, if you haven't had some experience in church where somebody has upset you or stepped on your toes, whether it be me or someone else, it's easy for me to do that, by the way. Not intentional, but it's not difficult. If you haven't had any moment, anybody had that moment? Yeah. If you haven't had one, you're not deep enough involved in your faith community. Amen? If you haven't had this moment where you're wondering, what is wrong with these people? Brothers and sisters, you haven't got close enough to us. You need to get closer, because you know what's wrong with us? Same thing that's wrong with you. Same thing. We're all in the battle. Now we have a choice. How are we going to live the battle? Well, so often when we're in the midst of the battle within the church, we're going along and somebody stumbles and they fall and we go, thank God that wasn't me. That person's laid out on the ground. Life's falling apart, whatever it might be. Might be something simple. They just can't seem to make the decision to make it to church. And we just go, oh, it's so sad. They were right there. They were so involved. And it's just so sad that they don't come anymore. Wonder what Father Brian's going to do about it. Well, first of all, it's going to take me a while to figure out it happened, to be honest, because I don't always notice. What if in that moment we chose the Spirit and not the flesh? Because let's be open and honest with one another. The reason we don't call is because we think the person's mad and we don't want to deal with it. We don't want to hear somebody's frustration or somebody else's anger. We just want to pretend everything's okay. So we just say, well, I don't want to bother them. Really? You got a brother or sister that's face down on the battlefield. They're losing the battle. They are choosing the flesh over the Spirit. And then in watching that, you're thinking that you're choosing the Spirit by acknowledging that they're chosen the flesh. And by not doing anything about it, you chose flesh. Amen? There's the opportunity is right there before all of us all the time. All the time it's there. And so often we choose the flesh when we could be choosing the Spirit. And we're afraid to choose the Spirit because we don't know what's going to happen. The flesh we control, so we think. And sometimes people don't even know they're in the battle, and that is the most often the time people are losing the battle. They don't even know they're in it. Brothers and sisters, we are called to battle with Christ in this world where evil reigns. In case you're unaware, watch the news. This is not the kingdom, amen? It will be, but it isn't yet. So we're here to fight for the kingdom. With the power of God that indwells us, we can fight for the kingdom with him, but we have to be on the battlefield, and you have to know you're in the battle. The biggest struggle in the church in my opinion, is we have no clue that we are in a battle that is a spiritual battle that begins within each one of us in every single decision we make, that it be either flesh or spirit, and then we live in this world where we are constantly bombarded with flesh. In many cases, literally. It's everywhere. The whole thing is turning sideways, and we are tempted like all others, and we struggle like all others, but we're the church. We're the warriors. We're the ones he's called to fight the battle with him. And we are the ones that need to choose the spirit, where the strength comes for the battle, not the flesh. And it has to be done in every little thing, every single moment of our day. When someone is confirmed here at Holy Innocence, and they come forward, the bishop lays hands on them, there's one thing all of them know, if they went through confirmation class with me, is that some point in the service, the congregation is going to be asked if they will support these persons in their new life. And the congregation says,
we will.
Then do it. I tell every one of them, they go through the class, by the way, if you wander off and somebody asks me where you are, and why you haven't been coming to church, I'm going to say, call them and ask them. Because you literally sit here and tell each person you're going to support them in that. A whole church full of people said they would support me in my priesthood. You all repeated that, by the way, when I became your rector. These things matter. We do it every time someone is baptized, every time they're confirmed, every time they're ordained, every time they're married. That isn't for the good times, brothers and sisters. That's for when it's hard. Anybody can be supportive when it's going well. Supporting Susan and I in our marriage at the moment is pretty easy. Things are going good. We've been doing it a long time. It's a pretty safe thing. At this point, I don't think anybody has the energy to do anything different than be with the two of us. Who wants to start over now? 30-some-odd years later? I mean, some of you know what I mean. Just stick with what you got. Make it work. Amen? If we were falling apart, boy, that'd be a whole lot of conversations in the parking lot. Amen? We're here to support each other. I need you to do what God's called me to do. Not for all the worldly reasons. I'm talking spiritually. I need you in my spiritual battle. I need you. Y'all need each other. Sometimes you need me. We shouldn't hide from that. We should embrace it. When we see somebody struggling just to make it to church, when we know where their heart is because we walked with them, and then something changed in their life or something changed in their world or they're fighting something as they're making that next deeper step in their faith, and you can see it, you know what I'm talking about, amen? You've seen it. You've seen somebody fighting it. You've seen them in the battle. And we stand back and go, well, let's see how they'll do. No, you need to take on what I understand from growing up in an Irish Catholic family, the youngest of six kids. Now, you did not get between the six of us. We could fight and carry on and treat each other as poorly as we constantly still do. But that was none of your business. But if you came against one of the six, you became everyone's business, amen? Don't mess with the Irish Catholic O'Carrolls down the street. Because if you mess with one of them, you're going to get all of them. That's the church, by the way. We're here to fight against what is happening in the world that is not of God. Not in violence. Not like drunken Irishmen down the street. Not in violence, but with the Spirit of God. And when we watch others fade and fall and struggle, we are essentially choosing flesh ourselves. Because we know, and you know, when you see it happen, everything inside of you from here down is saying, I have to do something. And then the flesh kicks in. It's none of your business. Don't bother them. If they wanted to be involved, they'd be involved. Just let them go. and your heart knows it's wrong. But the flesh and the world tells you it's right. And how often have all of us in those moments chosen the flesh, the comfort of our flesh, the temporary comfort? Paul is acknowledging that we are living in this battlefield. And he is saying, choose spirit. Why? To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the spirit is life and peace. For this reason, the mind is set on the flesh, that the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, which equates to hostile to God's people. Even if that hostility is so passive, most people don't see it as hostile. If I fall on my face right now and nobody comes to pick me up, that would seem a little hostile, wouldn't it? But I have no doubt somebody would run to me and help me up. If I stumble spiritually and fall on my face, sometimes we just put on our blinders and say, that's none of my business. We are the body. One falls, we all fall. One struggles, we all struggle. One loses the battle, we all lose. This is not an individual sport. Christianity is a team sport, and we need each other because this is the battle we fight. It's mindset. For this reason, the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. How often are we really in the flesh? In those subtle ways. But Paul says this, you are not in the flesh, you are in the spirit, since the spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, though your body is dead because of sin, the spirit is life because of righteousness. If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also through his spirit that dwells in you. See, every single time you miss that opportunity, every single time you think you should call someone and you don't, and you just think about it constantly, and you can't set it down, do you know what I'm talking about? I'm getting some nods. Somebody understands what I'm saying. And here, you know what that is? That is the Spirit of God that is indwelling you, that is trying to move you to do what God is calling you to do. How many times, brothers and sisters, all of us, myself included, have we known that, felt that, and then consoled ourselves with our mind as we chose the flesh so that we wouldn't have to feel uncomfortable by reaching into someone else's life because we've now convinced ourselves it's none of our business. How many times? Now who would want people to walk away from Christ? It's not of God. It's a fight. The worst thing that can happen is you don't know you're in it. Does the Spirit of God indwell anyone here? Let me ask again. Is there anyone in here that's baptized? Good news, bad news. Good news, the Spirit of God indwells you. Oh, and by the way, bad news. Spirit of God indwells you. If you're having a hard time raising your hand, spirit or flesh. If you can't admit your Christian faith amongst the body, we got work to do. But all is not lost because the Spirit of God is in you. It is what drives us. We live on the battlefield. C.S. Lewis, I think, says it best. In his book, The Great Divorce, he states this: There are only two kinds of people in the end. Those who say to God, "Thy will be done." And those to whom God says, "Thy will be done." He won't take your will. You will be given every opportunity to choose flesh or choose the spirit. I've done plenty of both. I have chosen flesh many times and left myself in turmoil to the depth of my soul. Here's the other thing that you need to know, which you should already. There have been many times when I've chosen the Spirit. And no matter how ridiculous or how risky or how dangerous or how uncomfortable or how awkward or how whatever it was, 100% of the time, I received the peace of God and a depth of life that cannot be explained, but only experienced. 100% of the time. Two kinds of people. The ones that will turn to God and say, "Thy will be done." And ones whom God will turn to and say, "Thy will be done."